Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
33, verse 12. I want to say I'm thankful for the internet. I'm thankful that we are able to broadcast live. And for those that are not able to be here, it is a tool whereby that the gospel and the services can get out. I just got a text. Brother Danny Prim had told me Friday night he had to be back in up near Washington, D.C. this tomorrow morning. And so it's a long drive. And anyway, when he's not here, he's listening or watching. And so I announced the title of the message. He just texted me a minute ago and said, "Preacher, I know where America's headed. She's headed to hell, but I'm going to listen anyway." And he's right. He's right. Psalm 33, verse 12. You found your place. Say amen. Amen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. There's a blessing, but then there's a curse. Turn to Psalm 9 and verse 17. A few pages back, Psalm 9 and verse 17. Here's the blessing. Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can I tell you something? Is that he didn't say, blessed is the nation whose God is Allah. He didn't say, blessed is the nation whose God is Buddha. He didn't say, blessed is the nation whose God is Mohammed. Y'all say any amen right there? He said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Jehovah. There is but one God. Amen. Jesus is his name. You can talk about Allah. You can talk about Confucius. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Muhammad. It doesn't upset anybody. But the mention of the name of Jesus upsets everybody except the child of God. Psalm 9, 17, here is the curse. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that do what? All the nations that forget God. Not just any God. Not just any person. But the Lord God Almighty. Every nation that turns its back on the Lord God of heaven. The Bible said there is a curse. And that nation is going to be turned into hell. Would you pray with me, please? Brother Chip, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. 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 If I get, Brother Frank, would you give me a cup of water? I forgot my water bottle this morning. All right. First of all, as we get into this, I want to go on record and say, I love America. Amen. Before we need to pass coffee out or get some caffeine going or something. Amen. It's going to go a whole lot quicker if y'all get in here with me. I love America. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God for being an American today. I've been to Canada. I've been to Mexico. I've been to the Bahamas. I haven't gone all over the world. But I'm going to tell you some of the places that I've gone to. I'd rather be here in America than any other country that I've ever visited. I want to tell you something. I still like to see the old glory wave in the wind. I like to see our country worship God. I like to see that our country, my friend, is the greatest country on the face of the planet. If you don't think so, then they'll take you to another place and leave you there, and you can just go ahead and pack your bags and move to China if you want to. But friend, I want to say, I thank God for America. And I applaud our president who recently had an invitation to the Philadelphia Eagles, them overpaid football heroes, they say. They're not a hero. They're just a player. They're out there pushing a pigskin up and down the field and getting millions of dollars for it. But when the flag is flown and the national anthem is sung, they cannot stand and salute it, and they take a knee. And our president said, because you do that, I'm canceling your trip to the White House. Glory! 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 There's been many a man that have died under that flag. And because of that, we can have the freedom. And how dare they stand? I mean, how dare they kneel, take a knee, because of some old fella some years back said, I'm going to protest the Black Lives Matter. Honey, I want to tell you something. Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter. Jesus died for all lives. I want you to see something this morning, though. There's some things about America. We must never forget what God has done in the past for America. Number two, we've got to keep our eyes open to see what God is doing for America today. And then third of all, we got to realize what God will do to America in the future. Number one this morning, if you care to write them down, what God has done for America. Two things that God has done for America. First of all, God birthed America. Yes, we sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty. Of Thee I sing, Land where my fathers died, Land of the Pilgrim's Pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Amen. Listen, the first permanent English settlement in the New World was 1608 in Jamestown, Virginia. The first community building that was built was a church building. It is the only building with a wall that's still standing. It has been said that the Spanish came to America seeking gold, but the English came to America seeking God. The English came because of the oppression of England. They were telling them how to worship, when to worship, who to worship, how to worship. And they said, that's not the God of our Bible. We need to find a place that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. And they set out in a bunch of three little old ships and came over here and founded this great country. And thank God for it today. Amen. The Puritans, the first act they had at Plymouth Rock, they knelt and they praised and they dedicated this new colony to God. Roger Williams, who founded Rhode Island, was a Baptist preacher. I've read about Lord Baltimore, held church services in establishing Maryland. William Penn, who was a Quaker, he established Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, South Carolina, Georgia, and the great state of North Carolina. When you read about the writings, you see that there is no doubt that God birthed America. William Penn said this in writing the government policies for Pennsylvania. Listen to me. He said he made sure that, quote, all treasurers, judges, and all elected officials possessed faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, wouldn't it be a glad day today if we get some elected officials? Thank God that we've got some. But listen, what would happen if our government had some born-again believers running this country? Our founding fathers constantly spoke of the need for the Bible. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments in their civil and criminal codes. President John Adams stated, listen, quote, the law given from Sinai was a civil and a municipal code as well as a moral and religious code. These are laws essential to the existence of men in society, and most of which have been enacted by every nation which ever possessed any code of laws. Vain indeed would be the search among the writings of secular history to find so broad, so complete, so bold, so solid a basis of morality as the Ten Commandments lay down. And notice that the American Bible Society was started by an act of Congress, and John Adams, our second president, served as its first leader. Oh, would to God we'd have some more elected officials that would say, this is our rule, this is our code, this is what we're going to live by, this is what we're going to read, this is what we're going to teach, the Word of the Living God. President George Washington said, it is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all the dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are indispensable supporters. In 1782, the U.S. Congress voted in favor of a resolution. Listen to me. In 1782, Congress voted in favor of a resolution recommending and approving that the Bible for use in the public schools. Did y'all hear what I just said? 1782. That they said we need to have the Bible in school. I remember the day. Brother Darrell's before your time. Brother Bobby was probably... I know me and Brother Steve, but I remember the Bible being read in public school. I remember in public school where you'd stand every morning and recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible, up to the flag. I remember in public school where prayer was offered over the intercom in public school. But then there came a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hara. And because of that one infidel of a woman, she got prayer kicked out of school. She got Bible reading kicked out of school. And so what do we have now? We got a bunch of rebels. We've got a bunch of thugs. We got a bunch of hoodlums. And we got a bunch of murderers in our public school. We need the Bible back in our public school. Congress said, 1782, we need the Bible in our school. Back in that day, if you got in trouble at the schoolhouse, that's where it ended. But brother, I have worked in a public school. And I know for a fact you cannot make a child recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. If they don't want to, they don't have to. You cannot pray. Now the kid can, the students can, but the teacher can't. Y'all know that. The students can, but the teacher can't. Friend, I have been there. I have seen it with my own eyes. They called upon me one time at graduation. I got up and I prayed and I invoked the name of Jesus. About a week later, we had a lawyer from down in Chapel Hill come marching into school, and he told the principal, if y'all don't stop that, we're going to sue you for what you're worth. Would to God we'd have some more God-fearing people today that stand up and say, listen, by the good grace of God, go ahead. We're going to teach the Bible the way it ought to be taught. Henry Lawrence, fourth president of the Continental Congress, said this: I had the honor of being one who framed the Constitution. In order to effectively accomplish these great constitutional ends, it is especially the duty of those that bear rule to promote and encourage respect for God and virtue. Patrick Henry, first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress, stated this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, Patrick Henry said, listen, this country was founded on biblical beliefs by God-fearing people. The Constitution ends, the last phrase, in the year of our Lord. Our nation's motto, in God we trust. Our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. Didn't say one nation under many gods. One nation under one God. God birthed America, but number two, God's blessed America. I went to Mexico last year to have this surgery. And we had a a driver, they shuttle us back and forth. And I passed by a huge plant. It was a Hill Rom and Welch Allen. Now, if you've ever been in the hospital or a doctor's office, that may ring a bell. Because about every hospital bed I've ever seen, Brother Steve, is made by Hill Rom. And about every blood pressure cuff and different medical devices is made by Welch Allen. And so I asked the driver, I said, the folks that work in that plant right there, how much do they make a day? Are y'all with me? He said $5 to $6 a day. The nurse I had worked a 12-hour shift. For 12 hours, registered nurse made $40 for 12 hours. That's less than what a nurse makes in 1 hour here in the United States. God has blessed America. Listen to what history sometimes, Brother Richard, you'll appreciate this. History, tons of stories are written about the miraculous intervention of God, but most history books leave out those stories because they're written by humanists and liberals who want to take out the real facts of history and they want to just tell you what they want you to know. Y'all do realize that our history books are being rewritten as we speak by the liberals and the modernists, that those that don't believe in God, any reference to God, they don't want to hear about it. Amen. Here's a story. Listen to this story. British Commander William Howe was moving 30,000 veteran British soldiers to take over New York. General George Washington had only 18,000 inexperienced troops. They're a bunch of farmers. They're a bunch of just common people. In 1776, British troops outflanked Washington. Washington lost 1,000 men and two of his top generals in that conflict. His troops were discouraged. Without any reason, the British halted their troops. Had they kept on pressing on, they would have destroyed Washington and all of his troops. Yet, they were trapped on Long Island, New York. The only route of escape was across the treacherous East River. Weather was very bad and seemed impossible to cross. Washington called. Listen what he did. Instead of calling on the best minds, he called on a prayer meeting to ask God's guidance and help. He decided to cross that river. Storming, then suddenly at 11 p.m., the wind died, the rain stopped, the river was as smooth as glass. They started crossing and a gentle breeze came up from behind them to push them along. Even this miracle still would be impossible to get all the troops across the Manhattan Island before daybreak. But just before daybreak, a thick fog rolled in and it hid them from the British troops. When the fog lifted, the British commander was shocked. Washington troops had escaped. Washington and his men recognized that God had did that. Don't take our freedom for granted. We have not all paid the same price. I never served, not because I dodged the draft. I told a Marine recently, I met a Marine in a hotel down here, and I thanked him for his service. I thank Brother Charlie for his service. I thank these other men for their service. But I told that Marine, I said, My number came up, but I was going to Bible college. And he said, I got exempted from going to Vietnam. He said, at least you didn't. He said, at least that was the right way. He said, at least you didn't run off to Canada. Amen? Amen. Your freedom and my freedom, it's not free. Listen, Alan Starr of Arkansas erected a monument to the 241 servicemen killed in the bombing of the Marine headquarters in Lebanon. With $2,000 of his own money and some used bricks, he built an 8x4 monument with a bronze plaque that said, lest we forget that peace has a price. Friend, listen, peace has a price. Freedom is not free. It costs somebody something for you and me to be able to worship God, sit in an air-conditioned building, have the freedom we have, be able to lift our hands, be able to sing, be able to carry a Bible. Freedom is not free. Ask any parent who's lost a son in a war. Ask any child who's lost a father. Ask a man who's lost a leg, an arm, or was injured for life. I saw recently 700 Club, Pat Robertson. The story was about Travis Mills. Travis Mills was 28 years old. He was an Army sergeant with the 82nd Airborne Division. On his third deployment to Afghanistan, I watched the video as he told the story. He had on his backpack, and their job that morning was to do a mine sweep. The Afghans had laid what they call IUDs, explosive devices. They went out to sweep to make sure that it was safe for the troops to come through. And as he was sweeping that minefield, it appeared that it was clear. And he took his backpack off. And as he took his backpack off and it fell and hit the ground, it landed right on top of one of those IUDs. It blew up, hurled him in the air. And when he did come to, there were people working on him. What he didn't realize at the time, that was April the 10th, 2012. The blast disintegrated his right arm and his leg. His other leg was left dangling, and the remaining wrist was shredded. He lost all four of his appendages. He lost his two arms. He lost his two legs. He spent 19 months in rehab, learning how to walk with a prosthetic leg. A former 6'3", 230-pound athlete woke up 4 days later on his 25th birthday to learn he had no limbs. He endured 19 months of rehabilitation. He told his wife to leave him. But now, my friend, he is a Christian. He wrote a book that says, as tough as it comes. Friend, I want to tell you something. Thank God he didn't give up. But his freedom, our freedom, cost that man his two legs and his two arms.
And he's glad to be alive today.
Absolutely. Number two, quickly this morning. What God has done for America, what God is doing for America. Presently, God is beholding our nation. He sees how far we've come since our birth in 1776. In God's eyes, are we better to Him or are we bitter to Him? How long will God's blessing still come to America? Authorities have said that our servicemen that went over to Iraq and Afghanistan were safer in those countries than the citizen walking our own streets. The FBI says this: a murder happens every 24 minutes, forcible rape every 7 minutes, a robbery every 68 seconds, aggravated assault 51 seconds, violent crime every 27 seconds. All this means that a major crime is committed every 3 seconds in America. You say, oh, that's in big cities. It ain't in big cities. It's in the countrysides. It's in towns like Ashburn, Franklinville, Ramseur. It's all over. Amen? Religion is not the answer. Today we've got more churches in America than we've ever had, and yet corruption, hypocrisy in government and churches is more today than ever before. Where is the living God? In Jesus' day, it was not unlike our day. The government and churches were corrupt. One day, Jesus stood in the midst of a holiday crowd, and he lifted up his voice and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. That message is still a message today. It's not in religion. It's not in Muslims. It's not in Islam. It's not Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not Mormons. It is Jesus. Jesus is the way. When he said that, he's speaking to lost people. Of all the religions in the world, Jesus is the only way. When it comes to eternal life, I like that song that some of them, I think of the Perry singing. He walked by the tomb of Mohammed and his bones were still in the grave. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Mohammed is dead and his bones in the grave, and if he believed what he believed, he's in hell today. Confucius is dead. Mary Baker Patterson Eddy is dead, founder of Christian Science. Joseph Smith that founded Mormons, he's dead. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. But when you walk by that tomb over yonder in Israel, it is open. And he's not there. He's alive forevermore. He's the only one that conquered death, hell, and the grave and took the keys away from Satan himself. Amen. If you're going to heaven, you're going to have to go Jesus' way. Mark it down. He's the truth, speaking to learned people. The world tells us today there are no absolutes. Brother Bobby, I've been around long enough to know. The world says this, Jimmy. There are no absolutes. You know, recently, that old founder of Playboy, Hugh Hefner, he died. Hugh Hefner come back out. He come out in the 60s with this philosophy. If it feels good, do it. Well, honey, I want to tell you something. I doubt if Hugh Hefner is enjoying where he's at today. Because if he believed what he believed, he's languishing in the pits of hell. He's on fire today. Why? Because of his life. Friend, let me tell you something. Religion is not the answer. This world is not the answer. There is an absolute. Jesus is the only answer. He's the only way. Not a way. The only way. Third of all, Jesus said, I'm the life. He's speaking to longing people. He that hath the Son hath life. Why are people lost today? Because they've not come to Jesus. Can I tell y'all something? This ain't take a rocket scientist. I appreciate what Brother Bobby prayed a while ago. Y'all may not have caught this, but Sister Brenda here, Milner, and I was talking about this, and then you get up and pray it. Thank God. Listen, I'm going to step out on a limb this morning, but thank God. When Jesus died on the cross some 2,000 years ago, he paid our sin debt. Say amen. Amen. You were not born. You had not been thought of. But he paid your sin debt. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. Even though you hadn't been conceived, your sins were paid for on Calvary. But not only your sins. According to Isaiah, is that by his stripes we are healed. He paid for our healing as well on Calvary. Now here's the clincher. It's like having a Christmas tree and the presents under the tree and got your name on it. But until you go over and you take it and you say, this is mine, it don't become yours. But the moment you lay hold on it and say, that's for me, that's mine. He did it for me. He saved me. He'll deliver me. He'll set me free. He'll heal my body. Either you believe all of it or you don't believe any of it. Why are people not finding the truth today? Why are people not living a real life? Why are they just existing? America is a land where anyone can hear the gospel. We're blessed indeed. When we were out west one year, I had the tent set up. I wish I could just load all of y'all up and take you out to Window Rock, Arizona sometime. It's a different world. Here, you got a church on every corner. There's a dear friend of mine texted me the other day, Brother Harrison Miller. Brother Harrison, long story, I'll make it quick. We had a promise from a mission group out there that if you bring your tent, we'll set it up on our property. And everything was good, everything was on go. But then they changed their mind. They didn't want it. Politics, that's all I can tell you. We were discouraged, and we were thinking, this ain't going to happen. Brother Nelson Batoni said, there's a man over here in Fort Defiance I wanted y'all to meet. So we got in a car, drove over to Fort Defiance, knocked on Brother Harrison Miller's door. He come to the door, didn't know us from Adam, invite us in his house. I didn't know it at the time, but his power was shut off because he didn't have the money to pay for his power bill. But you know what he told me? He sat there with tears in his eyes and said, I've been praying for 15 years that God would send somebody out here to tell my people, the Navajo people, about Jesus, and then you show up on my doorstep. Oh, what a glorious time. But Brother Harrison don't have a church. The closest church to him is an hour away. And he, at that time, he had an old broke-down car that wouldn't go in reverse. Sometime he didn't have gas money. I told him, I said, Brother Harrison, I told him this the other day, if I was a younger man, I wouldn't think twice. I'd want to go start a church in Window Rock, Arizona. Oh, the cults are there. The Mormons are there. Jehovah's Witnesses are there. But there's not a Bible-preaching church in that whole place. And the reservation sits there. And all these Indians need the gospel. We've been blessed in America. Third of all, what's God going to do to America? The Bible teaches Psalm 9:17. Look there, we just read it earlier. Say with me if you want me. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. History highways are filled with the wreckage of nations that forgot God. Leonard Ravenhill wrote a book one time. Leonard Ravenhill is with the Lord today. He wrote back in the 50s, and you would think that he wrote today. I got several of his books. Why Revival Tarries? He said revival tarries because we steal the glory of God. We get up and we talk about our tapes and our music and our this and our that. And he's right. But he wrote another book, and this is the title of it. Sodom had no Bible. I read that book, and this is what he said. Sodom had no Bible, yet we have hundreds of Bibles. Sodom had no churches, yet we have thousands of churches. Sodom had no preachers, and yet we've got many preachers. Sodom had no Bible colleges, and yet we've got Bible colleges. Sodom had no TV programs, no radio, no internet, and Sodom perish under the hand of the judgment of God. How much more shall America be subject under the judgment of God? Some startling statistics I'm about to read to you. Since 1973, how many of you were around in 1973 when Roe versus Wade? By the way, can I just tell y'all something right now? Every last one of us, including this preacher, we ought to be praying earnestly and effectively. You know why? Did y'all see the news this week? We had a chief justice of the Supreme Court to retire. And so now our president is going to appoint another chief justice. And friend, you say, why is that important? Because if the court swings to a conservative way, we can reverse Roe versus Wade. How many of you know what that was? How many of you do not know what that was? That legalized abortion in America. Since 1973, 60,069,971 babies have been aborted by the doctors in our country. You think the Holocaust was bad? Only 6 million Jews. 60 million babies. You say, well, preacher, that was just the mother's choice. No, sir, my friend, according to the Word of God, God knows us at the moment of conception. At the moment of conception, life comes in. And at the moment of conception, I want to thank God, number one, there's 60 million babies is in heaven. Amen? But I want to tell you something. The blood of those innocent babies are on the hands of many of the doctors in America today. Would to God we get back to respecting life is important. There are 390,000 reported gay marriages in America today. Now I'm going to go one step further. I want to just say something right here. The devil is smart. You know what? You know what the devil wants to do, Brother Bobby? His goal has always been to destroy the godly seed. Think about it. What did he do in Moses' day? He tried to eliminate all the male Hebrew children. What did he do in Jesus' day? He tried to eliminate all the babies by wanting to try to kill Jesus, right? Y'all do remember that story, right? The devil is smart. And the devil knows this, that the way to stop the spread of Christianity is that if he can get the godly seed, if he can get mamas and daddies to stop having children and raise them in the way of the Lord and teach them the Bible and bringing them to church and reading the Word of God to them, then he's accomplished his goal. And friend, let me go on record and say this, is that I believe without a doubt that God created male and female and blessed them. And God said in Adam and Eve, and God looked at them and pronounced the first marriage on record. In 2013, this is the latest statistics I could find, it is estimated that 24.6 million Americans aged 12 or older, that is 9.4% of the population, that was 2013, so that was 5 years ago, has used illicit drugs in the past month. And then here's the last statistic. You got to watch. Look at your watch just a second, if you got to watch. Everybody's got a smartphone. I want you to look, see how quickly 1 second passes. Okay? 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. $3,000 are spent every second on pornography in America. Friend, what does God say? Romans 14:12 said, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. Every last one of you, every last one of us is going to stand before a holy God one day. And God is going to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Well, I've been a good person. I attended Harmony Baptist Church. I even come on that 4th of July weekend when everybody else down at the beach and everybody else up at the mountains. I was right there. I was right there, preacher. I was right there. Lord, I even put some money in the plate. And he'll look at you and he'll say, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot you. I never knew you. Every one of us will stand before God and give an account. If I were to take a survey on the street, if I were to go down Ramshore, if I were to go to Franklinville, if I were to go to Ashboro, and if I'd walk up and say, do you plan on going to hell? They'd look at me, they'd say, you crazy as a loon. Do you plan on burning in hell forever? Well, no, preacher. Nobody with any sense would want to go to hell. Y'all do believe in a hell, don't you? Amen. Y'all believe that there's a place of eternal torment, that when you breathe your last breath, if you're not saved, and by the way, it's too late then. It's too late to come back and say, hey, oh, listen, give me another chance. The rich man in Luke 16 said, it's no hope for me, but send somebody to my five brothers and tell them, because I don't want them to come to this place. You breathe your last breath, it's all over. There is no purgatory. The Roman Catholic Church has tried to con people into believing that you could get prayed out of purgatory by putting enough money in the plate, by doing enough good works, by praying enough, lighting enough candles. That's hogwash! When you die, and you die without Jesus, you're going to burn forever in hell. If I were to ask you this morning, and I am in just a moment, to raise your hand if you know that you're going to heaven, some of you may not be able to raise your hand if you're honest. Well, then I'd ask you this question. When do you plan on getting saved? When do you plan on getting right with God? I'll tell you what the Bible said, 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There'll always be another chance. There'll always be another. You know, I'll not do it today. Maybe next Sunday. I can tell you story after story after story, and I ain't trying to scare you. We had a Sunday school campaign one Sunday, one time a month or something. Back first church, second church I was at, assistant pastor, giving a Bible away, and a lady won the Bible. And I remember Brother Bobby, she come that Sunday and I presented her with a brand new Scofield Bible. She brought the most visitors that month. Do you know she never got to read that Bible? Do you know that was on a Sunday and by Wednesday we were doing her funeral? What am I saying? There's been many a person that has walked in a church service, sat on a pew, and died before next week. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Thank God for His divine protection. I believe this. Whew. About to get happy right now. I am protected by the good Lord.
Amen.
And my two good friends, Smith and Wesson. My wife and I was driving down the road the other day and we went to come around a curve. And it was a pickup truck pulling a double axle trailer, a big closed-in trailer. And he's looking down, wasn't paying attention to what he was doing or whatever, and he was halfway in my lane. Thank God I had some place to go. There was a driveway. Can I tell you something? I started driving when I was 15 years of age. To God be the glory. I have never had a major accident. The only accident I have ever had, I was in the church van coming through Burlington one day, and this elderly couple pulled out in front of me. I hit them head on in the church van now. It knocked their car back over against there, and it broke my watch. It just popped right off my wrist, but I didn't break a bone. They didn't break a bone. It totaled their car and did $4,000 worth of damage to the church van. But that's the only major accident in 50 years of driving. What can you say? You pull out, some drunk, somebody that's high, somebody looking down, texting, somebody on their cell phone, somebody that's distracted, all of a sudden plows head on into you, or your daughter, or your son, or your wife. Listen, my friend, you don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, but I'm going to tell you, I know the one that's got tomorrow in his hand. He's already been there. He's already proved that. He knows the end from the beginning. And He's my Lord.
Amen.
He's my Savior. Could you bow your heads, please? Hebrews says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Today's your day, my friend. Today's your day. You said, not today, preacher. Not today, maybe next Sunday. You may not have a next Sunday. Thank God that we live in a free country. Thank God that we live in a place that we can still stand. Listen, I have no fear of being arrested this morning, not for preaching. Amen. I have no fear of the government officials coming in today and censoring me. And telling me what I can preach and what I can say and what I can't say. My friend, let me tell you something. Thank God for the freedom we have.